the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. And I'm Janice, and I'm here with my partner, Margaret, and we have our guest, Anika Allen from the Empathy Agency. Welcome, Anika.
Hey, Janice. Hey, Margaret. Thanks for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, and I should say welcome back, because you have been on the podcast with us before. So
I have. Been a while, though. Yeah. It has been a little bit. Lots has changed since then.
Yes. As always, it's happening, right? There's always change. So, so before we kick off, we're gonna talk about a great blog that you wrote for us about Listen to Rest. But why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what the Empathy Agency is, which I know is a big passionate part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, I consider myself a relationship builder, a stone catcher, a freedom fighter, and a storyteller. I'm a Black woman. I'm a descendant of the Underground Railroad. I'm an Ojibwa of Anderton Nation. I'm a mama. I'm a sixth generation Canadian. And so all of those identities have made me who I am. And I spent about almost 25 years inspiring investment in charitable organizations, and frequently the only Black woman in the room, the only woman of color in the room, the only person of color in the room. And my experiences being the only, and sometimes the first, really has cultivated my desire to see change in our sector. And it's all of those experiences of racism, sexism, marginalization inside the sector that has given birth to the Empathy Agency. And what I do the majority of the time is I spend time with organizational leaders and their teams exploring identity and its impact on culture and equity outcomes. And whether they know it or not, those things are connected. Whether they tune into their identity and the relationship it has with culture and equity, whether they tune into that or not, they are tied together, and there are impacts for the people around them and also for the work of their organization.
Yeah. And I do want to say that we will link to your past podcast with us, with you and Scott, because that really gives more of a flavor of the kind of work that you do. So if people haven't listened to that yet, I do want them to listen to that as well. So,
yeah. And what I loved about this blog, because Anika, I feel like, for sure, the last time we had you on the podcast that I was here was speaking about collecting courage. And, you were just in the hot fire of just having that published and all the work and the busy and the probably insanity and crazy that went into that. And now we check in this many months later and wow. Different things going on, different inspiration, different views. So tell us more.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. I was right in the fire of, publishing a book but not alone, with my fellow editors and those beautiful authors. And it has been really busy. But since then, I moved to the West Coast. And when I was moving, my daughter said to me, "Oh, I hope that this, West Coast lifestyle wears off on you. I hope it just rubs off right on you." And I didn't know whether or not I should be insulted. I didn't know how to take it, but I knew. But what I do know is that destiny loves me. And she was saying something to me that I thought was really important. And even though in the moment I may not have fully understood the message, I kind of had a sense for it, but I was too busy to really tune into what she was saying. But I have to tell you, there is really something about being in this environment that has focused me differently on the way that I bring myself to my work, and rest has become a real theme for me this year.
Yeah, it's really, and I was so struck by connecting rest and listening. I mean, we are so much as coaches and, you know, people who run a coaching business, like thinking about listening a lot, right? And almost the work that it takes to become better at listening, which is, you know, sort of a funny way of putting it. But what does resting give you in terms of being not only listening, but like building better relationships?
Well, I think that in order to build good relationships, you first have to know yourself. And in order to know yourself well, I think you have to be listening to yourself. And it's interesting because listening to yourself is not just it's not like an intellectual exercise. It's just not something that happens in your head. It's something that also happens in your body. And recently my somatic therapist said to me the most interesting thing. She said, well, Anika, your body only knows the present. It's all your body knows. It's your mind that time travels. And so the goal is to bring your mind and your body into alignment so you can hear your body, and you can hear your, you know, what's going on in your mind as well. And so I think that work helps me be present, to hear other people. If I could hear other people well, then I think we're off to a brilliant start as it relates to building relationships, or, you know, it offers a new way to know another person so you can go deeper.
I love in your blog, you talk about reading something that suggested breaking up with busy. Somebody else said, I'm breaking up with busy, and you're claiming that. But then your first take at breaking up with busy was from a pretty busy place. Like, okay, what can I schedule differently? And
yes,
it's almost funny, right? But how can I do this? How can I do this more? And it feels like you're learning more about the being of being not busy.
Yes. So I am an A type and mostly extrovert. And yeah, I saw that post. I don't even remember what social platform it was on. I saw it and my body resonated first with it. Like, oh yes, 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 yes.
This person, I don't even need to dance. Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't need to even read anymore. Yes. And so then my A type took over. Okay, how do I like make this happen? Right. You know, like, okay, like we'll do it now. Right.
Right. And I'm going to make a list of all the ways to be less busy. Yeah. A to-do list.
And you know, it was interesting to just begin to think about it. And that, of course, I'm just reaching for the low hanging fruit and the things that are obvious, the things that I have fully in my control, things I can see, things that seem to be more tangible to me. And so with that, that was enjoyable, but the part that I think really challenged me was in December when I was planning my holiday sabbatical, and I was literally tumbling out of, you know, a year of great change, a lot of work. I was just finishing my program at UBC, my coaching program there. And it was the coaching program literally ended on my birthday, December 4th. And my best friend flew in on December 2nd because we were going to engage in birthday festival after all, as I began my holiday sabbatical. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to tumble right into this, and I'm just going to be perfectly in sync with rest. Like, we're going to have fun. I'm just going to do what I want. It's going to feel great. And that was not what happened. My body was stopping. Like, I wasn't coming into my office. I wasn't doing those things anymore. But inside I was like, it was like a motor was running and I couldn't shut it off and it was frustrating me. And so then I got, you know, instantly irritated because I wanted to understand like, well, how come I can't do this? Like how, what's wrong with me? I mean, my best friend is here. It's December. It's your birthday. I mean, what's wrong with you? And so I spent a large part of that month trying to answer that question. And I didn't come out of December with answers, but I knew, but more questions.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, I love that because it's not easy, you know, is like, that's exactly what, you know, and it's until you do it, you have no idea, you know, how you're going to react. And I'm still kind of, my mind is kind of blown by that. Like, you know, your body only knows the presence. I don't know. I've never heard it, that way.
It blew my mind too. I was like, oh.
But yet, that's the interesting thing, right? Like, I'm just reflecting on, like, there's a way that sometimes when we listen to our mind running, it's not helpful, right? It's all of those, what we call sort of saboteur voices can be in there. Like, should be like, it's like you're judging yourself or like you're not resting well, you're not doing this well, you're not doing it right, you know. It's right.
So, well, then the first question that comes out is this sort of unkind, like, what's wrong with me? Yeah. Right? That's such a mind, like a mind place to
it summon is.
That question,
yeah. But getting to the place where your body can, like, actually, like, you can listen to your body, that's where the, like, there was something I just want to look at it because I wrote down something you said, yeah, like it was. It led to, you know, there's deeper wisdom, rhythm, and rest. Turning the act of listening inward leads to deeper wisdom, rhythm, and rest. But that's not easy to get to that place, even for like 10 seconds, you know, let alone a month.
Well, what I discovered is it takes practice, like really deciding, no, I'm going to sit on my balcony once a day and listen to birds, not think about a million other things that are going on, but just really taking in the moment or sitting in and listening to my body. Like, how am I feeling right now? and then answering that, like, how often are we curious about ourselves? Right. So like you said, Margaret, you know, that first question is usually what is wrong with you? And that was the question like that was running through my mind most of December. Like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you just turn the engine off already?
Right. Slow as your opposed roll. To yeah. Why can't I do this? Yeah.
Getting curious about, oh, how are you feeling right now? Like, why is that the feeling? You know, and then being more curious about it, which I think changes the posture, which is a kinder place to be, a kinder way to be towards yourself. I mean, as coaches, we are curious with our clients, but how do we turn that inward as well?
Yeah. Something that I'm learning on, you know, somewhat of a, you know, my own somewhat parallel journey to have more of a somatic practice is, you know, the body's language is sensations, right? And it's that's been such a good entry point for me to think about, you know, not like the first question, I can't get an answer to how am I feeling? Like, that is six questions down the line, you know? So the first one is, what am I noticing? You know, like, what's going on in my belly? Like, do I feel my feet right now? You know, it's really like
yes.
Has that been your experience as well, Anika, at all?
Mine is, I really appreciate that experience because answering the question, how do I feel, is difficult for me as well. I find that, and I don't know if this is because I spent so much time in church growing up, but I know how to be still. Mm. I've been disciplined to be still. Like, so I can enact that.
Yeah.
And so I know that that's where I have to go. And so usually what transpires for me is a struggle around going there. But once I get there, then I can answer some questions. I can get more curious. I can, things illuminate. That wisdom sort of is just present. And there is a different rhythm in those spaces. And so I'd like to be more still, just generally. And as opposed to going to that place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I do. For now, I'm a traveler.
Yes. And for some people, the entry point is breath. And it sounds like for you, it is summoning like literal stillness.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk in your blog, which I think is really important. And I think for all of us, why is this so hard? And you really are looking at some of the cultural messages here that have to do with, all the things. Can you share a little bit about what you name in your blog?
Yes, yes. So I talk about white supremacy culture and how the messages of that culture were sent to me as a young person, and I name, through teachers and doctors and neighbors and friends and my friends' parents. And it's interesting to me, the more I seek to understand the way that white supremacy culture oppresses, that rest is so much an answer to all of the demands of that culture. And I believe the central demand is around, you are only as good as what you produce. If you are productive, then we will assign some value. If you can aspire to be like the archetype of whiteness, which is white, male, heterosexual, homeowner, like you can go run down the list, right? There's value in trying to aspire to that. And so I have found for myself that despite growing up in an abundant Black environment, that those dominant narratives and those dominant messages were pervasive because they are in systems and in the systems that we have to engage in, education system, the healthcare system, like think about all the systems, right? Mm-hmm. And so those messages can't help but permeate who I am or who we are. And when the demand is to just produce and not pay attention to what you need, like what you actually need right now in this moment, right? Or if your body is saying, I can't, none of that matters, right? In dominant culture, what matters is, did you make the deadline? Did you raise the money? Did you make the goal? Are you being professional? Right? Are you meeting the standard? Are you trying to meet the standard? How are you trying to meet the standard? Show us, prove it to us. It's always do, 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 and do some more. As opposed to coming from a place of, like my sign says here, you are enough. You are enough the way that you are. And that your value is not tied to what you do. Your value is tied to who you are. One of the best things my daughter said to me about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, she was taking a lot of naps. And so I was like, are you okay? Are you like, is something wrong? And she was like, no, there's nothing wrong. She was like, I'm collecting rest for my ancestors. Mm-hmm. Which stopped me dead in my tracks. And it's interesting because she has been so much a teacher to me on another way of being. And again, in my head, I didn't, it didn't all fully gel. And I wasn't like, oh, light bulb on. Yeah. But in my body, I resonated. I could feel where she was coming from. And I thought, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about where she's going, why she believes she's entitled to be there, and how that makes her a more whole person.
Yeah. It's that's so beautiful. I mean, it's such a radical thing, you know, and it really, I just,
but yet so simple.
Yeah, like, I know.
You see, I have a chaise lounge in my office, right? I've literally started like having naps in my workday.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It feels to me, in terms of being hopeful, like that there was a little bit more recognition, you know. COVID, I think, has brought us a little bit more willingness, a little bit, you know, like at least the door is opening a little bit to kind of talk about being exhausted, being burnt out, you know. And also, as you talk about your daughter, I see that. I so often admire, you know, my cousin's kids, for example, like that generation, like the just 20-year-olds, like they seem, and I don't know, because like our generation raised them up, so somehow they've overcome us, which is good, but they have like a better sense of like, why do I want to try and kill myself for a job, you know? And we see, Margaret, like I'm really struck, you know, we do a lot of work around positive intelligence, and we see like in fundraising, like let's bring it to fundraising for a minute. Mm-hmm. Two big saboteurs: pleaser, like I am not worthy unless I'm doing something for others, and hyperachiever. And sometimes people question that because they're like, oh, I'm not a hyperachiever, I don't want to be the CEO. And we're like, no, it's not about that. It's like, it's exactly that. You are not worthy unless you are doing something, you know, right? Like getting the next gift in, booking a call, having a meeting. And then they're always like, when we do it with teams, they're like, oh my God. Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's like, I am not worthy unless I am sacrificing myself for others. Yes. or producing, like you said, I think you used the word producing, which is exactly it. And I think I've often thought that in fundraising, it's like, we don't even pause like to celebrate. Like we've raised, like we got a huge gift. We concluded a campaign. It's like literally like, okay, that's over. What's next? You know, it's relentless.
Right. Well, and then you start with the right. Oh, it's a numbers game. So, you know, the more phone calls I make, right? There's no space to just stop. And you know, I mean, it's just pick up the phone. And it creates, right, this energy of almost manic busy all the time. Like even when the phone is down, you know, as you're sharing, Anika, like it's really hard to get your nervous system back from that edge. Like we just live there. Pick up the phone, do something, look busy, you know, even if you're not actually being productive. Like,
oh, goodness, I worked somewhere one time where if you left work, like on time at the end of the day, if it was 5 o'clock and you left, oh, the daggers from my boss.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm done. It's 5 o'clock. And then sometimes I'd be like, I've actually been done for 20 minutes, but I'm sitting in my office because this culture is so ridiculous that I can't just walk out the door at, you know, 4:40 because I'm finished my work for the day.
Well, everything you're describing is the reason why I spend so much time focusing on the how we do things. And, you know, I just want to say, I've not figured this completely out, obviously. And the goal isn't to necessarily figure it all the way out. It is to just remain a student. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, my focus for the last several years has been on how we do things, how we work, how we engage in, you know, the work that we do in charitable organizations, how we pursue racial justice. We can think of people in our lives who, when they come into our environment, because they are rested and present, they bring a different energy. And so I've always thought, well, how can I ensure that I am in those sorts of places when I am in proximity to other people, when I am spending time with myself, when I bring myself to do work for my business or for other people or with other partners. And the answer for me is rest. If I am not rested, if I am not present, as a result of that rest, I can't articulate clearly. I cannot connect with people the way that I desire to. I don't believe I can be a good student. My learning is diminished. You know, like what would happen to our fundraising calls if we weren't manic, but we were rested? What would happen to the relationships?
Head exploding. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would transform all that we do in ways that I can't even imagine. I mean, I both quantifiable and qualitatively.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Finding resistance in your rest. I love that. I love that concept because you've done so many things on the, right? I mean, books and teaching and fundraising and creating space and groups for people to be better, right? Like so much doing. And who knew what you would find by slowing it down?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my daughter sort of, you know, she kind of called it into being when she said, when you find yourself out here, I hope that the environment here presses on you in a way that brings you back to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a wise woman. You've raised up a wise woman.
when she was a baby, we used to say, when she was little, just a little toddler, we used to call her mama because she's like an old soul. Just knowing things, came here knowing things.
Yeah.
Sounds
like it.
Let's inspire people.
More than we've already inspired them? Come on.
With something tangible.
Yeah.
What would you like people to do, Anika?
Yeah, I think I would just extend the invitation to people to join me in having a sabbatical, plan a sabbatical. My next sabbatical starts in 12 days. Mm. 12 days? Yeah, 12 days. And so I'm taking off a month. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have my holiday sabbatical, which is the month of December. Now, don't have to do two. I decided to do two because I'm really challenging myself to sort this rest thing out for me. But just try it. Try a sabbatical, not a week, an extended period of time. Tell people what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, everybody who writes me gets a message. They know what I'm doing. I don't necessarily tell them how long, but I just tell them, like, this is my focus right now and I'll see you soon.
Well, you told me, and that's why I was like, ooh, I want to talk to you about this at some point.
Yes. Yes.
There's an important differentiation there because you're not saying like, take a month and redecorate your house, take a month and finish your book, right? I mean, there's actually a much more specific instruction.
No, it is really don't make any plans.
Yeah. No projects.
You know, no projects. Just be with yourself and be with other people. You know, we have folks that are coming to visit. And I mean, I get a lot of energy from that. If it was my daughter, she does not get energy from that. So I think it's important to be cognizant of those things as well. But no, the idea is not to plan it. It is to just have this period of time where you are going to transition out of doing and working to just being and letting, you know, life emerge. Let the learnings emerge. Let the experiences emerge naturally, organically. And see how that feels and see how that repositions you to re-enter, you know, a space of maybe focused work.
Yeah. And if you're having a big gulp, like, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine, then this is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The more scary it is, the more probably it's for you. Well, so
courage is not the absence of fear.
Exactly. Well, wow, just so much to think about. Yeah, I just love, we were sort of joking before we hit record, you know, you were sort of joking, Anika, like, I don't have answers. And we're like, we don't want answers. Like, the point of this isn't answers. It's questions. It's thinking. Yeah. It's just being provocative and making people pause and think about what they want to take from this into their own life.
So. Yeah, you know, it makes me think of Andre Henry, who has a blog and does all kinds of great stuff. He says at the end of every blog, it doesn't have to be this way. Hmm. There's another way. And I believe that there's another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because we were taught this, just because our culture,
that's exactly right,
you know, beat it into us, doesn't actually mean that there's anything right about it.
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, thank you again for coming and playing with us and for, you know, writing. I'm always excited to, you're such a beautiful writer. I mean, not surprisingly, since you're an editor and author of your own book, Collecting Courage. But yeah, I was just excited to see when I saw it in my inbox of like, ooh, and then I read it and I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack and talk about. So I was, you know, looking forward to this conversation all week. So thank you for that. And if people want to connect with you, what's the best way for people to find you and learn more about the Empathy Agency?
Absolutely. People can find me at theempathyagency.ca, and there's a way to connect with me there. And certainly people can connect with me on social media, on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'm happy to connect. I respond to everyone.
Great. Good. All right. So we're going to, remind you, take on the idea of sabbatical. When can it be? Get that on your calendar. And like Margaret said, don't redo your house.
Listen to
the birds, you know, maybe you cook, maybe you go for walks, like whatever it is that
or maybe you just do nothing.
Yeah. Like take the nap on that chaise lounge.
Take a nap. Absolutely. I recommend chaise lounges. Absolutely.
I have one looks of those in my nice basement. So so we are gonna remind you that we have a free resource. I did want to mention, we also, because we've been talking a little bit about listening today, that on our website, fundraisingleadership.org, you can click for a free 7-day coaching challenge. So we'll link to that in the show notes. That's another way to start to listen in a more deep way. And thanks again, Anika and Margaret, for this great conversation. We'll see you soon.
This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.